let's make a deal. And if I remember correctly, wasn't it Monty Hall that was the host of that show? And people dressed up and they came down and he would have the different doors you could choose, and he would tempt the people to just take the money that he offered them and go rather than choosing the door. And sadly, some people would choose incorrectly, and he'd say, oh, well, we have some really nice consolation prizes for you before you leave. And the intent of that was that the contestants could go home having prospered in some way and having a good experience, not feeling like a loser. Well, today we talk a little bit about, read a little bit about from Luke's Gospel, the consolation of Israel, our great consolation prize, and what that means to us. In the times that Jesus was born, there was expectations that the Messiah was about to come onto the world scene. Expectations not only by the religious leaders who knew the Old Testament scriptures and the prophecies, but also amongst the mothers and the young women at that time, expecting that one of the babies to be born was going to be the Messiah. Well, this happened in Jesus, as Luke tells us in his Gospel, and it tells us now, as Luke continues his Gospel, what happened in the life of Jesus in the next 8 and 30-some days, up to like the 40th, 42nd day. On the 8th day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus. Okay, according to the law, the young boys had to be circumcised on the 8th day. So Jesus was circumcised. He was given the name Jesus because that was the name that the angel had told Mary to name him when he was born. Okay, this wonderful name Jesus means a lot more than we sometimes come to know. The name Jesus in the Greek that he would have been given would have been Iesus. And it has its origins in the Hebrew language of Yehoshua, where we get the name Joshua from. But the name actually means Yahweh saves. Yahweh being the one who is God or the one who is sovereign, saves. So Jesus' name, Jesus or Jesus, would have meant one, the one who is sovereign, saves, being through Jesus, through his son. Now, if you know anything about the laws, a woman was impure. She was defiled after the birth of a child. She was considered unclean, and there had to be a time of purification, at the end of which time she had to come back into the temple courts and be declared clean by the priest. And that's what happened. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem. And they took him to present him to the Lord to dedicate him, because the law stated that every firstborn male had to be dedicated, consecrated, or offered up to the service of the Lord. So that's what they were doing. And they also took an offering, sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. They took a pair of doves or two young pigeons. One was to be a burnt offering, one was to be a sin offering. And the reason they didn't take a lamb is because they simply couldn't afford one. So the law accepted in place two turtle doves, two doves, or two young pigeons. And they took one as a burnt offering, one as a sin offering. When they were there in Jerusalem, there was a man there called Simeon. Now, we don't know anything about Simeon other than what it says right here. As far as I know, he was not a priest. He was just simply a man that lived in Jerusalem. And it tells us he was righteous and devout. So he was a man that was truly focused on right things and focused on God. He was innocent by being pious or devout, in other words, fulfilling the laws and living according to the laws. And he was considered righteous by God, and it would have been shown, or the testimony of that would have been that the Holy Spirit came and spoke to him. What does that mean, that he was righteous and devout? Well, it describes that righteousness in Zechariah and Elizabeth in the first chapter of Luke. It says both of them are upright in the sight of God because they have observed all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. So this Simeon man would have been like Zechariah and Elizabeth, observing all of the laws and the commandments of the Lord, and would have been righteous in the Lord's sight. This man Simeon, it says, was waiting for the consolation of Israel. In other words, he knew and expected that the Messiah was coming. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, this word consolation here is pretty important because it's describing a person. It's personified. And this word consolation meaning a comfort or a solace or one that consoles. In the Greek it would have been written that he was waiting for the paraklesis. All right, the paraklesis, which means comforter. And the word paraklesis means near called, a comforter who is called near or near to us. It's where we get the word or where we find the word or where the word comes from, parakletos, which means a comforter. It's that same word that Jesus used when he said, when he was getting ready to leave his disciples, and he said, I'll ask the Father and he'll send you another parakletos, another comforter, who will be the Holy Spirit. It's the same word John used in 1 John 2:1, where he says, if any man sins, we have an advocate, we have a parakletos with the Father, Jesus Christ. Now, Luke is saying that Simeon was waiting for this parakletos, this comforter, this advocate, the consolation, the comforter of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. It had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ or the Lord's Messiah. So he had had this message from heaven, you will see the Messiah before you die. Moved by the Spirit, in other words, it wasn't his own intentions, he wasn't doing it on his own, he was moved by the Spirit, he didn't know Mary and Joseph were coming, he went into the temple courts at the same time that Mary and Joseph were there presenting their offerings, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, there Simeon stood. And imagine how the Holy Spirit moved Simeon. Simeon saw the baby and probably thought, there he is. And he took Jesus in his arms and he praised God saying, Sovereign Lord, and I love that term for that name for God, Sovereign Lord, because it puts God where he belongs, first and foremost. Sovereign over everything and everybody else. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, just like the prophets foretold. In other words, Sovereign Lord, you have been faithful. Just as you have promised, now here I see the Messiah like you promised, and you now dismiss your servant in peace. In other words, he was saying, I have seen this Messiah just like you promised I would. Now I can die in peace, knowing that I have seen him. You have dismissed your servant. That word dismissed meaning relieved. You have relieved your servant. You have loosed your servant. You have set at liberty your servant in peace. And remember, we talked about what that word peace means, prosperity. Simeon was saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now you have set me at liberty because I have prospered seeing the Messiah firsthand. And he says, my eyes have seen your salvation, your defender. Not just something, but someone. My eyes have seen your defender, your salvation, which you have prepared right before our eyes in the sight of all people. There he is. You have prepared him and made him ready to do what he needs to do. You can't produce fruit from a garden unless the garden is prepared. You can't sit down and eat a meal and get nourishment unless it's first prepared. When you get on a boat to sail somewhere, a big ship, you can't leave until it's been prepared and all the lifeboats are secured. It's the same way with salvation. We can't have salvation until the way is made ready. And he's saying, Sovereign Lord, I've seen the way that you have made ready and presented in the sight of all the people. So like a highway. You can't drive on a highway that they're building until it's been properly prepared. And in Jesus Christ being born, that way, that truth, that life was prepared in the sight of all people. And he says that salvation, that defender, is a light, a manifestation of the defender like God had promised to the Gentiles, and glory or worship and praise for your people Israel. They could praise God now because he had provided. Now we know this little bit of scripture here as the canticle or the hymn of Simeon. It's in our hymnal in one place. It's the song that Simeon sang. It's the poetic language he used when he prayed to God. But we see his praise here. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have laid out in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people. You know, folks, there's a little bit of Simeon in all of us. In every one of us, there's a little bit of Simeon. Simeon probably had a lot of sleepless nights, worrying about this, wondering about this. He probably spent a lot of daytime hours looking for this Messiah, the consolation or the comforter, the one who would come near. And he was probably burdened because God said, you won't die before you see the Messiah. You'll see him before you die. And he probably spent a big part of his life searching for that Messiah. And he had no peace. He had no rest. But now, things changed. Simeon had salvation in view. You see, our churches today are being encouraged to be seeker sensitive. So what do? Because we know the world is seeking something. We are encouraged to be seeker sensitive, to change our music, to change the way we do things, to change the way we even dress so that people feel welcomed. But what happens until those seekers have salvation in view and see the glory of Jesus Christ? They're not going to be settled. They're not going to find any peace. And when we are like Simeon and we have salvation in view and we've seen Jesus, not even death can disturb us. In the book Pilgrim's Progress, in the beginning, the man named Christian is reading a book. And he closes the book and he weeps because the book tells him of the judgment to come. And he says, what must I do? What must I do? And he meets a man by the name of Evangelist that says, you see that light down there on the hill? That's the celestial city. Focus your eyes on the celestial city. And it was the view of the celestial city which kept Christian motivated along his journey that we call Pilgrim's Progress. And it's the same journey that you and I are on every day of our lives. We must keep our salvation in view to have a proper perspective of praise and who Jesus Christ really is. That we can be relieved, loosed, set at liberty, and dismissed from the bondage and the burdens that the world puts on our lives. Because with salvation comes liberation. With liberation comes consolation. And that liberation from sin and death is the arm of God Himself, whom was laid bare in the sight of the nations in Bethlehem, just like the prophet Micah foretold, to bring us consolation, salvation, liberation, consolation. Being saved from death brings us relief and freedom, which brings us comfort. We're all seekers. We're all like Simeon. We're seeking something in life. Sometimes we just don't know what it is. But when we turn and focus on the Lord, and say, O Sovereign Lord, O Sovereign Lord, my eyes have seen your salvation, and now I have peace. I'm set at liberty. I'm free. I'm relieved. Because nothing else in this life matters except our eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. And being saved from death through Christ brings us relief and freedom, which brings us comfort in our days. One of my favorite hymns we've been singing all throughout the Christmas season, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, born to set thy people free, from our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. Let's pray. Gracious.